Apparently, there was a great excitement recently at the Labour Party conference. I'm not really into politics, but I watched a bit of that conference, and there was great excitement as Jeremy Corbyn was due to make his maiden speech as the new leader of the Labour Party. The most pundits didn't believe that Corbyn was a credible leader of the Labour Party. But against all the odds, he was elected. And his election as leader was seen as a new beginning for Labour. And many supporters at the conference were waiting for Jeremy in his speech to lay out his vision for the future. They were expecting and they wanted him to deliver a rousing speech, a speech that would rally Labour supporters. They were looking for a confidence-building speech, an inspirational speech that would fire up Labour supporters to go out there and change their communities. And many wanted Jeremy Corbyn to say that under his leadership, anything was possible. Under his leadership, they can make a real difference in their community, their country, and even the world. And under his leadership, they could achieve great things. They were looking for a confidence-building speech. That kind of speech you hear often at a graduation ceremony. Now, I've been to one or two of those. They're all different in many ways, but they all have one thing in common. They all have a keynote speaker. And it doesn't matter who the speaker is. It doesn't matter from which field of sport or industry they come from. The speech has common themes. Human potential. What can be accomplished if you set your mind to it? Limitless possibilities for those who are absolutely determined. Confidence that the graduates will go out and change the world. And the speech focuses on the ability of the graduates to accomplish great things, and the purpose is to build them up, to inspire and instill confidence, to dream big dreams and to push hard. That's why I wonder if Jesus would be a good graduation speaker. Because the conversation he had with his disciples in John 15, we've just read it, is, if you like, their graduation talk. Jesus knew he would be leaving them. Jesus would be sending them out into the world to make a difference in their community. The classroom study had ended, if you like, and Jesus delivers to his disciples their graduation speech. But unlike a modern graduation speaker today, he starts with the negative. And he says to his disciples, "You can accomplish nothing of lasting significance on your own." Now, that will get people's attention at a graduation, wouldn't it? Can you imagine someone standing up in the Whitla Hall or somewhere else and saying, "Yeah, the classroom study has ended, but you'll not achieve very much"? Maybe what the disciples wanted and were expecting to hear was something very positive. What we expect to hear is how we can do anything if we set our mind to it. All we have to do is believe in ourselves and work hard. But that's not the message Jesus gives to his disciples. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And then this line, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's very simple, isn't it? By ourselves, apart from him, we can do nothing. But how can Jesus say that? How can Jesus say that we can do nothing without him when it's obvious that people are achieving great things without him all the time? Think of the achievements of the past 50 years, never mind the past 2,000 years, and it's very impressive. Think of the achievements in the fields of medicine and science and engineering. And you know what? I doubt very much if any of the people who made great achievements paid much heed to God. Listen to this quote. The problem for many men is not so much that they are failing. Rather, the problem is that they are achieving their goals, but they are their own goals. Failure means to succeed in a way that doesn't really matter. Listen to that again. Failure means to succeed in a way that doesn't really matter. It seems to me that many folks today, including many believers, are working really hard to succeed in ways that don't really matter. Clear that what Jesus was saying here is that apart from him, we can do nothing of any eternal significance. Because, friends, our education is empty knowledge apart from Christ. I think it was Lord Shaftesbury, or the Earl of Shaftesbury, who said that education without instruction in spiritual principles only produces a race of clever devils. Isn't that right? Education without spiritual principle only produces a race of clever devils. And our positions of status are meaningless titles if they're not submitted to Christ. And our religious activities are just empty rituals without a heart being changed by Christ. And Jesus said it time and time again, religious activity without a heart and mind transformed by grace is empty and it doesn't produce fruit. It's bogus and it's false. And it's empty, and it's unfruitful. And what happens is this, when we try to produce that fruit without a change inside, I was telling the kids, it's like going along with an artificial apple and trying to stick it onto a tree. And I wonder how many people in our churches are doing that. They're trying to stick artificial apples onto living trees, but they're not connected to the living tree. That's the negative. Jesus starts off his graduation speech with a negative, but there is a positive, because we're also taught in the Bible, aren't we? That we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. Because the person who is drawing life from Jesus has God's Spirit living in them. And when God is living in us, and when we're drawing life from the vine and nutrients from the vine and life from the vine, we can overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles. We can see communities changed. We can see the hardest hearts softened. But friends, these things don't happen because of our techniques, but because we are connected to Jesus, and we are drawing on Jesus. So if we want to make a real difference in our community, in our country, and in the world, we must let Christ transform us, and we must let him rule in our lives. You see, people forget this, friends. Growth is measured not by what we have, and it's not even measured by what we can do. Growth is measured in who we are becoming. You maybe heard the line that to be successful, you must display one or more of the four B's. The four B's are these: beauty, brains, bucks, sorry, it's an American illustration, and brawn. And if you don't have one of those attributes, beauty, brains, bucks, and brawn, I have three of them. Come on. What do you think I haven't got? Haven't got the beauty. Only kidding you. The Word says, if you don't have these, forget it. And the emphasis of the world is on the externals. What you have and what you do rather than who you are. Now, when you think of successful people, who comes to mind? I'm tempted to ask you that, but I'm guessing in the business world, it's people like Richard Branson. I don't know. In the sporting world, people like Wayne Rooney or Bill Gates, or maybe it's a movie star, I don't know. For believers, it may be the pastor who has the big church, you know, the big successful church, the place everybody's flocking to. Maybe the pastor who has that successful ministry, however you measure success in ministry. But folks, they're all surface issues. Jesus calls us to something deeper. He calls us to hunger for godly character. Jesus said, God is not looking for press clippings. God is looking for growth. He's looking for fruit. What is that fruit? Well, God's fruit is Christ-like character and changed lives. And we know what that looks like. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the person connected to the vine and the person drawing life from the vine will be showing Christ-likeness in their life. And that will be seen in so many areas. I think one of them, which is increasingly a problem in the church and for believers is this. Real believers are teachable people. I remember as well being assigned to First Antrim as an assistant minister. And I see Brian and William there. I'm sure this happened to you too. You go along as a student and you meet the supervising minister and you talk about your role in the congregation. And I can remember as well John Dixon saying to me, Philip, I don't care if you're a good preacher, a bad preacher. I don't care anything about you really. Well, he didn't say that exactly. What he said is, the only thing I look for in an assistant minister is somebody who is teachable. And I think that is an increasing problem in the church today. We have saved people, believing people, but they're not teachable. And that is a problem. But that is one of the fruits of the Spirit, if you like. Fruit bearers will be teachable. They will be people who will treat others with respect, not just as objects to be exploited. They will be patient and not quick-tempered. They will be loving, not manipulative. And folks, these are characteristics that are becoming so rare in the world that they stand out. And the tragedy is they can be rare even in the church. It makes us wonder, doesn't it, if there are some dead branches in the church. Now, it's important to say here that when Jesus is calling for discipleship, he's not talking merely about decisions to trust him. Decisions are relatively easy to make. Discipleship, following Jesus every day, taking God's word into account in the detail of our everyday living, surrendering our life to him, that is a different ballgame altogether. And when your boss gives you a hard time tomorrow, how will you react? Will you react like a disciple of Jesus? Or will you react like a pagan? Jesus is talking about discipleship, and discipleship is about producing fruit. He's talking about a transformation, about a change of heart and mind, which is seen in a change of attitudes and a change in action. Being a disciple, you see, a follower of Jesus, is a head, a heart, and a hand thing. It's a whole of life thing. I'm sure you've heard the idea that believers are chosen people. That idea will not be strange to you here in Ahuachill. Believers are chosen people. And here, Jesus tells us why they're chosen. I chose you and appointed you. Why? So that you might go and bear fruit. And fruit is something which is observable, isn't it? Something that can be seen. And isn't that the test Jesus said we are to you to distinguish between false followers and true followers? By their profession you will know them? No. By their fruit you will know them. I came across a conversation recently between two believers. Let's call them believer one and believer two. And believer one was concerned about some aspects of believer two's life. And believer two complained that believer one was judging him. And he said, you know, you have no right to judge me. And believer one said, you know, I'm not a judge. I'm a fruit inspector. I'm a fruit inspector. Fruit grows on branches connected to the tree. And friends, maybe there's no fruit because there's no connection to the vine. Growth is what we want. Growth is measured by who we are becoming, not what we have. Growth is Christ-like character and changed life, and growth is never-ending. Because we never arrive in our faith. There's never a time in the life when a believer can say, you know, I've become all that God could make of me. You know as well as I do, for a plant to grow, for a plant to be healthy, often means pruning. And Jesus says, every branch in me that bears fruit is pruned. And God prunes us by his word, doesn't he? A constant exposure to God's word should lead to repentance and renewal. And as a result of God's word, studying God's word, we see where we need to grow. We see where we're not growing. We see our weaknesses. We see our failures. We see areas that need attention. There's a great danger, and I'm aware of this as a minister myself, there's a great danger for believers that we can read God's word simply looking for information to support our own ideas. Or we read God's word looking for ammunition to fire at other people. Rather than reading it to learn. And the growing Christian is constantly looking at their life through the lens of Scripture. And as they do so, they are moved to repentance when that sin is uncovered. And they are challenged to love in difficult situations. And they are reminded of attitudes that need to be ditched. And they are reminded of attitudes that need to be cultivated and nourished and grown. Yes, the Bible helps prune the dead and destructive parts of our life, keeps us producing fruit and growing in grace. But God also prunes us, of course, through the knife of circumstances. Again, that is not what we want to hear. What we want to hear is that God only wants to have pleasant circumstances in our lives. We want to hear that God wants to bless us. And the thing is, he does want to bless us. The problem comes when we try to define blessing. Because to many people, blessing is synonymous with ease and success. But friends, God's definition of blessing is anything that makes us more Christ-like. So for the believer, a painful experience can be a great blessing. There's a wee verse in Hebrews, very instructive. It says this, God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening, it's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest. A harvest of what? A harvest of right living for those who are trained this way. We are here today celebrating the harvest. Now tell me, is there a harvest of right living? in your life. God uses these difficult circumstances to deepen us, to help us grow, to produce Christ-like character in our lives, to produce fruit in our life. Friends, God is 100% committed to our growth and development as believers. He uses His Word. He uses other people, sometimes very difficult people. He uses circumstances to help us grow and become more Christ-like. That we may not understand what's going on at the time. But one day we'll look back and we'll thank God for His work in our lives. You know, as a graduation speaker, Jesus had some very hard things to say. He said, growth, real growth, where it matters, is impossible without Him. He says, growth is not measured by what we have or what we own. Growth is measured by who we are becoming. He says, the process of growth is never-ending, and it's often painful. That is not the typical human potential talk we hear, isn't it? You see, friends, Jesus is not calling us to independence. He's calling us to dependence on God. And in the light of that, let me close by asking some questions. Are you connected to the vine? Are you drawing on the life-giving power of the vine? Are you submitting your life to the pruning of God's Word? And if the Lord checked His vineyard, the church, right now, what would He see? Would He see a dead branch? Would He see a weak and barely functioning branch? Or would He see a branch dripping with fruit? So much fruit that it's bending almost to the point of breaking. Bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Well, you know, the good news is that it's possible to be connected to the vine. Let me close with this. In Romans 12, Paul describes us as wild olive branches. And he says that it's possible for us to be grafted into the tree. And being grafted into the tree, we receive the blessing God has promised His children. We share in that rich nourishment from the tree. It may be that perhaps you see for the first time that you're not connected to the vine, that you don't have a life-giving relationship with Jesus. And realizing that is the first step to the new life in Christ you can have. And if you will turn from your reliance on yourself and trust what Christ has done for you, and put your life in His hands, you will begin to see fruit develop in your life. Small fruit, yes. When you plant an apple tree, the first year's crop is not big. The apples are small. Year two, you get a better crop. Year three, you get an even better crop. If you haven't done that, friends, I haven't repented and trusted Christ. If you're not connected to that vine, I invite you to think about making that important step today. But if you're here and you have done that, let me ask you a question. What's the fruit look like? If you trusted Christ 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, is the fruit today any larger than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago? How are we doing? Are we growing? Jesus said, I am the true vine, you are my branches. Hope that's true of everyone in this building this evening. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the great good news of the gospel, that we can be connected to Jesus, that he can save us, he can make us his own. We can draw on him. We can produce fruit. Lord, I pray that you will do that even for this congregation and neighboring congregations, that people will see that fruit which is observable, and that we will make a difference by God's grace in our community. And we pray it for the glory of Jesus. Amen.